Well, it's good to be back. Good to see you tonight. Appreciate the music. Appreciate your faithfulness. I know everybody's busy, but it's good to be in the Lord's house. Good testimony to gather with God's people to seek His face. It's a great, great blessing. We're going to be in the Psalms tonight. If you open your Bible there, appreciate the songs about heaven, the special music. It's a real blessing. And you know, heaven's going to be a wonderful place, isn't it? Think about streets of gold and walls of jasper and gates of pearl and all that's going to be wonderful. But just think about this, a place where there's no misunderstandings. That'll be quite a miracle, right?
Yes, sir.
Where there's never an unkind word said. That's going to be, that's going to be amazing. Like every Baptist church I've ever been in, really. Good to have Pastor Irby here. We called him up here so his parents can straighten him out. So, you know, he and I have gone back probably 30 years or more. We've been friends, and it's always a blessing to be around him. And we appreciate folks who are faithful to the Lord and faithful to His work. Psalm 139. Place that you will recognize when we start going through it here in a little bit. And if you're able to stand, let's stand together, please, for the reading of the scripture. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses, kind of get us started, because there's just something about this passage that I think speaks directly to the subject of revival. And it'll take us a while kind of to get to it, so just be patient with us. And but Psalm 139 in verse 1, David said, "O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou hast searched me and known me." And then verse 23, the last part of the chapter, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So the psalm begins with a testimony about the past. Thou hast, that's past tense, thou hast searched me and known me. But then it ends with a present tense request, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." And so I just want us to think about that subject tonight. Search me, O God. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight, and we do thank You that we can gather like this. We thank You for the country that we live in.
Yes.
We know, Lord, there's a lot wrong with our nation, but I'm grateful that we can still assemble like this to openly seek Your face and worship You and study Your word together. Thank You for everyone that's here tonight, for every member of this local assembly, for our guests. And Father, we ask You tonight that You would speak to our hearts through Your word. Help us, Lord, to be focused, be attentive. We don't want to miss what You have for us because of some distraction. And Lord, help me tonight to be, Lord, able to rightly divide the word of truth, and Lord, to present it in a way that's clear and simple and understood. And then, as has already been prayed, Lord, we want to be obedient to anything You say to us through Your word. Father, we have so much to thank You for, and we give You praise tonight for Your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Much of this psalm, much of this chapter, has to do in a general way with what I would call God's omniscience, that God knows everything. We're going to kind of walk through these verses together and really talk about that subject. It's a detailed description of God's omniscience. God knows everything. God's omnipresence. God is everywhere. And so He speaks about that. And here, as He begins saying, "Thou hast searched me," and then He talks about how thoroughly God knows everything. And it says, for instance, in verse 2 and 3, "Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. God, David knew that God knows everything there is to know about him. Every time he sits down, every time he stands up, all of his thoughts. Look in verse 2, thou understandest my thought afar off. You know, that's an amazing thing when you think about it, that God knows every thought that crosses our minds. This knowledge is very precise. It's not just general. It's very precise and it's very personal. If you look in verses 2 and 3, you find these personal pronouns. Verse 2, thou knowest my down sitting, mine uprising, my thoughts afar off, my path, my lying down, all my ways. You know, young person, it's really good to know, not only theologically, doctrinally, that God knows everything there is to know, but he knows everything about me there is to know. Every thought we have, every time we move, God knows about it. He's aware of the minute details of our most common acts. When we're sitting, when we're standing, when we're thinking, God knows our thoughts. He knows our words. Look in verse 4. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Every word we say, every word we utter, every audible word, every public word, every private word, every word under our breath, God knows every word, every thought, every place, all the time. Yeah. It's an amazing thing when you think about it. As a matter of fact, in verse 6, David says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. It's overwhelming. It surpasses, David said this, it surpasses our understanding and our ability to comprehend. He knows everything. Isn't that an amazing thing? What a wonderful God we serve. You know, there was a time in my life when to know that, to really grasp that, would have been a fearful thought to me, that God knows everywhere I've been, everybody I've talked to, everything I've said, every thought I've had. You understand, that would have been quite a disconcerting reality for me. But now, it's a wonderful truth to know that I never go anywhere, think anything, say anything, hear anything, go anywhere that God is not well aware of it. That's the God of the Bible. Verse 7, it says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. So wherever we are, he's already there. Yeah. We may feel alone, but we're never alone. We may feel like nobody knows, but God knows. You know, Jonah was in the midst of a storm in the belly of a whale, but God was there. Yeah. God's always there. He's there before you got there. He'll be there when you leave, and he'll be with you as you leave. God is everywhere. Verse 11, he said, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me. In other words, if I'm in a dark place, the darkness will hide me, but even the night shall be light about you, about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. It's all the same to God.
Yes, sir.
Verse 13, for thou hast, now this is very interesting to me, thou hast possessed my reins. Now that word reins is a word that used to describe the innermost part of a person, a place far deep within you that you can't reach. But he says God possesses our reins. He actually possesses the most inward part of my being and your being for that matter. He says, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I mean, when you were still in your mother's womb, God was watching over you. He says in verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes, David said, thine eyes did see my substance yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. In other words, God had his eyes on us before our bodies even took shape. Before our bodies were even formed, the members of our body were recorded in a book. Now, this is amazing, folks, and when you really think about it, you know, I mean, and he just knows everything there is to know about us. He's watched us even before we were born. Do you really believe that?
Sure.
That's an amazing thought, isn't it? Amazing thought to consider. And then in verse 17, he says, how precious also, David says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How precious are, that's present tense right now. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. What a descriptive term. God's thoughts about you, God's thoughts about me, presently, present tense, currently, at this very moment, are so wonderful that you couldn't eat. It'd be like counting the number of the grains of sand on the seashore. That's how many God's thoughts about you, good thoughts about you, precious thoughts about you. You know, a lot of people go through life just wondering if anybody cares.
Right.
Does anybody even know? Does anybody understand? Well, I'm going to tell you who understands and who knows and who cares. God does.
Amen.
He is infinitely wise. He's all powerful and all knowing, and he's interested in you and I, souls that are as unworthy as we can be, but God cares about us. It's good to know. Now, God's thoughts about the wicked are not quite the same. Look in verse 19. And I just want to briefly mention this. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. David is speaking. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. And then as the words we read a moment ago in verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. So when I think about that request, search me, O God, I think about it as he's talking to a God who is not limited in his knowledge.
Yeah.
A God who knows everything. The God who's right now, present tense, currently, knows what's going on in every human being in the world, knows every thought that they're thinking, sees everyone who stands or sits, hears every word that's uttered. That God who knows that much. And he says, would you search me? Search me, O God, and know my thought. This is a request from David to the God who sees and knows all things. Search me, O God. He was asking God to thoroughly, completely search him. The question comes, and I'm almost to the message. The question comes, you know, why would he ask God to search him? It's not so God can discover something that God doesn't know.
Right.
I mean, he already said God knows everything, about everyone, about every time, all the time. God knows. So why would he say that? And to me, the only explanation is David wanted to be able to see what God knows.
Right.
God, search me. If I asked my wife to search me, I mean, she could be pretty thorough, right? I mean, she knows me very well, but she doesn't know me as well as I know myself. I would venture to say that. She knows me very well, but she doesn't know me as well as I know. But God knows me better than I know myself.
Sure. Yeah.
It'd be one thing if you said to Pastor Stone, would you just, I was telling Pastor today, that's what he was referring to about being in a church recently. And this church is a good church, and we enjoyed a good meeting there. But the pastor sat down with us one day and just said, "You know, you're seeing our church, you're observing our church, you've been here for days. Is there anything about our church that you can see that maybe you could share with me that might be a help to us, maybe from your perspective?" Well, he thought maybe I could see some things that maybe he could not see. But that's not like asking God to search me, right? Because God sees everything perfectly. There's nothing hid from God. It may be hid from me, but it's not hidden from God. And so he wants God. And David's not just asking this like he's playing a trick on God. You know, "I want you to search me." He's asking this because he really wanted to know, "Lord, there's probably things about me that you know that I don't even know." Now, let's think about that for a moment. If that be true about David, I think it's true about all of us. I mean, there may be some things right now while we're sitting here that God knows about us that we don't even know about ourselves. And so David is saying, "Search me, O God. Show me what you know about me." Now that's really kind of puts us in a kind of a precarious place, really. A person has to be a certain amount of vulnerability to be willing to say to God, "Lord, whatever it is you know about me that I don't know, but I need to know, would you show me that?" And I really think this has some merit when you're thinking about the subject of revival. We may come to a meeting and think, "You know, I think I really should and I think I really could use some changes in this area of my life. I think there's some things I really could fine tune. I need to be more faithful about this. I need to be kind of getting this out of my life. I need to get more of this in my life." That ought to be the kind of things that we're thinking. But you know, there could be something that God knows that we need to know that we have no clue about.
Right?
Could be. So he says, "Show me, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And I would suggest tonight that we should really want that. We want God to search us.
Yeah.
We want God to show us what we need to know. If there's anything in my heart, anything in my beliefs, anything in my motives, is there anything about me, God, that you know that I may not even know that I would need to know? So this is a testimony of God's omniscience. But second of all, it's not only a testimony of God's omniscience and his omnipresence. Don't be offended by this, but it's a testimony of our ignorance. By that I mean ignorance I mean in the true sense. There's something we don't know.
Right.
I assure you tonight, there's much about me that God knows that I don't even know. And it's not because I'm trying to hide it from him. You can't hide anything from him.
Yeah.
Right? That's why David would want God to show him. Because we don't always see ourselves the way God does. You know, we've all experienced this. We have things in our lives when we know maybe we're not pleasing to God like we should be. We know there's some things that we've done, things we've said, things we've thought. Things like that, maybe our motives hadn't been right, something that we wanted, and maybe God didn't really want us to have it. And we've all experienced that, but we also need to recognize tonight, and if you can't come there, you know, that's okay, but I think we need to recognize that sometimes we're blind to things in our lives that really aren't pleasing to him. That's why they're called blind spots, right? They're called blind spots because you can't see them. So for us to think, if I don't think anybody would think this, but if you're sitting there thinking, I just think I've got it all figured out. I think I know everything about me there is to know. I don't want to offend you, but I'm just saying you're wrong.
Yeah.
No, it's there's none of us that know ourselves as well as God knows us. You know, you remember that verse in Jeremiah chapter 17, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Whose heart? I wonder whose heart that's talking about. I think he's talking about all of us.
Yeah.
It's your heart. Your heart is desperately wicked.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You say, you shouldn't say that. Well, I didn't. God said it.
That's right.
The heart is deceitful above all things. Above all things. I know, I've known some pretty deceitful things.
Yeah.
But my heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's in Jeremiah 17:9. But the very next verse says this: I, the Lord, search the heart. God's the only one can really search the heart, that innermost part of us. We're going to come back to Psalm 139. Hold your place there if you would, but turn with me to a couple of places in Proverbs that pertain to this same subject. Go to the right from Psalms, and I hope you'll keep your place there because we will come back. It'll be an hour or two before we get there, but no, just kidding. It won't be that long. Look in Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 3, it says, the fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. You know what? You know, when you're trying to purify ore, silver, gold, you know how the process works. It gets hot, you melt it. When you melt it, the impurities come to the surface, the dross comes to the surface. And that's how you purify silver, that's how you purify gold. But you can't do your heart that way. The Lord has to try the hearts. He has to show us what's really in our hearts. And by the way, there's sometimes that takes trials and difficulties and problems to really have our eyes open to what really God wants us to see. In Proverbs also, turn to the right just a little bit to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs 21:2. I think this is such a pertinent verse in this subject. Proverbs 21 and verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. In our own eyes, you know, we think we're right. Well, of course I think I'm right. I am right, right? Every way of a man is okay in his own eyes. But you know what? The Lord really knows whether it's right or not. The Lord pondereth the hearts. And so the only way we can really know what is in our hearts is for God to show us. That's why David said, search me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Go with me, if you would, to the New Testament, to the Gospel of Luke. And we're going to look up a few verses tonight and just trying to establish this important point tonight that, you know, we need for God to really show us and help us to see as He sees. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. And you'll be familiar with this text, I'm sure. Luke 22 and 31. I love to hear the pages turning in Bibles. Isn't that a good sound? Luke 22, 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Satan wants to get at you, Peter. He wants to sift you as wheat. Jesus said, but I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Pretty cut and dry, Jesus said, the devil's going to put you through the ringer, Peter, but I prayed for you. You're going to come through it. And when you come through it, strengthen your brethren. Verse 33, and Peter said unto him, he said unto him, Lord, I hate to tell you, but you're wrong. Look what he said. Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Now, you know what? Peter wasn't just making this up. He really believed that.
Yeah.
He really believed that. Jesus said to him, you're fixing to blow it big time. And he said, not me. It's not going to happen to me. You've got me confused maybe with one of these. And he said, verse 34, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And I don't want to belabor this point, but the point is, Jesus knew that Peter was going to deny him, and Peter could not see it. Peter could not, he did not see it. He was blind to it. How could it happen? Go with me, if you would, back over to the Old Testament, right before Psalms, to the book of Job. And I'm just really looking at these verses just to try to fill time, because I don't have much to say tonight. No. I just really want the Bible to speak to us about this important subject. In Job chapter 1, verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. Job 1:1, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now that's a pretty good testimony, and this is God's testimony of him. He was upright, he feared God, he hated sin. I mean, that's who Job was. And if you look at the last part of that same chapter, it says this. He said this, naked, verse 21 of Job 1, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. So we just see this to see how Job was. Job was an honest man, a sincere man. Job feared God. God said that about him. No one like him. Now go to Job chapter 6. And Job is really trying to manage his way through, and I'm not going to take the time to explain all this, but he's gone through more than any human being probably ever went through. Lost all of his family except his wife, lost his kids, lost his possessions, lost his health, lost everything. In just a matter of days, he's lost it all. So in Job chapter 6 and verse 24, Job says this, teach me, and I will hold my tongue. In other words, you know, we have this tendency sometimes when somebody tries to point something out, we want to defend ourselves, we want to speak out. Job says, Lord, teach me, and I'll hold my tongue. I'm not going to say a word. You teach me. And then he said this, cause me to understand wherein I've erred. In other words, show me where I'm wrong. This righteous man, this godly man, sincere man, hated sin, loved God, feared the Lord, but he said, show me where I'm wrong. That's a good place to be, isn't it? Lord, show me. If there's something, that's what David said, search me, show me. Anything out, show me where I'm wrong. Now let's go to the end of the book of Job, Job chapter 42. And I believe God gave him what he was asking for. God showed him some things. Job 42, in verse 5, Job said this to the Lord, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. That's an amazing thing, really. Now, why do we even read these things? Because all of these scriptures testify to this very simple fact, is that the only way for us to really know what's in us is for God to show us. And we need for him to search us, search me, the God who is all-knowing, the God who sees, I mean, right now, this is just one group of people, but he sees every one of us. He knows what we're thinking right now. If you're sitting there thinking, man, is this ever going to end? God knows that. He not only knows what we're thinking, he sees every move we make, he knows every hair on our head, he has them numbered. I mean, that's the God of the Bible, and we need for him to help us to see. Search us, search me. That word search in Psalm 139, that word search means to examine closely, to investigate. Show me. Now, how does God do that? How does God show us? Well, he does it a number of ways. And sometimes he can just, in our heart, he shows us things, opens our eyes, lets us see things that we may not have seen. Sometimes he may let somebody else help us to see things that we've never seen. But most often, he uses his word to do that. You know, I'm thinking of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, where it says that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder, separate the soul and the spirit. I mean, how can something be so precise that it can cut through and separate the soul and the spirit of a person? The word of God does that. God's word does that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where it's talking about the preeminence of preaching, prophesying, proclaiming the word of God, he says this. He said, people will come into the assembly when they're hearing preaching, I'm paraphrasing, when they're hearing preaching, it says, the secrets of their heart will be made manifest. Isn't that an amazing statement? By the word of God. Have you ever experienced that?
Yes, sir.
Where somebody's preaching, and just like I am, just maybe preaching about a general subject, but while that's happening, God is just bringing things to your mind and quickening things and showing you things. And that's the word of God. That's how that works. God wants to show us, and the preacher was right. When we come together, it's an opportunity for us, for God to work in our life, to give us direction, to give us insight about the decisions that we need to make. And so this is why we're wanting him to speak to us, you know. And the rabbit just got up, but I'm not going to chase it very far. But I remember one of the most phenomenal things happened when my wife and I first started going to church, 1975, both of us lost. I was a hippie and just a daily drinker and drug user. That was my life. I'm not proud of that. That's the way we lived, the way I lived. And it was only because we were as far down as we could go that we even started going to church. And the preacher started preaching, and I'm telling you, it was just like, I just knew somehow my wife was slipping him information about me, because when he's preaching, it's just like I was the only one there, and God was just nailing me with the word of God. Isn't that something, how God does that? That's the power of the word of God. And we ought to be willing to say, Lord, show me. You know, there's a very interesting passage in the scripture. I know you're familiar with it. But when Jesus was just about to go to the cross, he said to his disciples, one of you are going to betray me. And the disciples all turned in unison and pointed to Judas. Is that right? No. You know what they said? Is it I? Now, these disciples had made a lot of blunders and really were impulsive sometimes and said the wrong thing. But they had enough honesty and sincerity to know, you know, maybe it is me. We make a mistake when we come to church as though there's really nothing wrong with us. Everybody else needs to get right. I'm okay. And the truth of the matter is, John the Beloved said, if a man says he's without sin, he's deceiving himself. Am I telling you the truth?
Yes, sir.
So, just because I think I'm okay doesn't necessarily mean I'm okay. Every way of man is right in his own eyes. Just because we are convinced that we couldn't be any more right with God than we are doesn't necessarily mean that we're really as spiritual as we might think that we are. We may be like Peter. I could be like Peter. When the Lord says, hey, this is going to happen to you. And I say, not me. Lord, it's not me. You must be talking about somebody else. You've got me confused with somebody else. You know, it's not easy. I can tell you from experience. It's not easy to admit when we're wrong. But it's not always easy to see when we're wrong either. You know, when Jesus was rebuking the Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3, and he says, you say, that you're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not, that thou art poor and wretched and naked and blind. You think you're okay, but he said, really, you're blind. I've known some people that were blind, totally blind, completely blind, can't see anything. That's a hard trial to live with. But you know what? Jesus said this to a church.
Yeah.
You think you're okay, but you're blind. They were blind to how much they really needed to see. Isn't that something, really? And Jesus was telling that to them. So they thought they were okay, but really they weren't as okay as they thought they were. Now, the good news is Jesus specializes in opening the eyes of the blind. Right? He does that. He can open our eyes. You know, I was reading today about one of the incidents in the New Testament where there was a man sitting by the roadside and he was blind. He was crying out, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus asked him a really tough question. He said, "What wilt thou that I should do unto you?" And he had to think about it for a while. No. He said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight. I just want to see. And that ought to be us. Lord, I want you to show me anything I need to see. If there's anything you want to show me this week in revivals, if there are things that I am oblivious to, things I'm blind to, things I can't see, maybe I can't see them because I don't want to see them, but Lord, I want to see anything in my life that you want me to see." You know, we're at a really good lesson Sunday morning in Sunday school from the 51st Psalm, which is such a great psalm. But one of the things that David said in that psalm was this: "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts." See, God wants truth as far inside of our being as we could be. God wants truth, honesty, sincerity, transparency. And you know what? That's a scary thought, isn't it? Really, it can be. You know, because we kind of like to be in control, and we, you know what I'm saying? But we ought to be willing to say, "Lord, the God who knows everything, the God who knows everything there is to know about everything there is, everywhere, at all times, search me. I want you to search me." Let's do that tonight. Let's just say, "Lord, would you search me? Anything I need to see." And there may be, you know, it could be that God's already been working on your heart about something in recent weeks or recent days or recent hours. And you don't even need for God to search you about that because you already know that. Well, let's do business about that tonight. Not next week, tonight. Let's do business. Say, "Lord, I want to get this right. If there's something that I need to do, if there's something I need to quit doing, if there's something that you want to change in my life, Lord, I don't want to put it off. I want to do it tonight. I want to do business tonight. And if there's something that you want to show me that I haven't even been able to see or maybe been willing to see, I want you to show me." Would you be willing to do that tonight? And maybe tonight you may be sitting here and all the while we've been going through all this, you may not even be saved. You may know that there's something missing in your life spiritually. You've never really, not sure you've ever been born again. Tonight, you ought to come and talk to somebody and say, "I need to get this right." Amen? I need to get this right. Let's stand together, please. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Everyone standing with our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight. Just a simple message, just a simple thought tonight. God, would you search me? Would you search me? And you know, there could be a part of you saying, I'm nervous about that. Well, it's okay. God wants what's best for us. If you could stack up all the good thoughts that God has toward you, there'd be more than the grains of sand on the seashore. God loves you. He cares about you. And God wants to work in your life. Let's let God have His way tonight. Father, would you have your way in our hearts tonight? Oh, God. When I think about these things, Lord, they're too wonderful for me to know that You know everything about me, every thought, every word, every idea, every part of the innermost parts of our being, You know. God, would You search us tonight? Would You work in our hearts tonight? Please, Lord, as we ask You, as we cry out to You, search me, O God. Would You search us tonight? Have Your way in our hearts and lives. Just a moment, we're going to sing, but just while the piano plays tonight, maybe you need to come. Maybe you need someone to talk with, or maybe you just want to find a place in this altar and pray. Lord, search me. God is a loving God. He cares about us. He's merciful and forgiving. Show you scriptures and help you. You ought to come tonight. Thank you.
It's a sobering thought tonight to realize, you know, I don't know what I'm capable of in a wicked way. God knows. I appreciate the message tonight. These are revival messages, making us investigate, making us think. Isn't it good to know that we serve a God that is so great? He knows every thought of every individual, not just here tonight, but all around the world. Isn't that something? I mean, so wonderful, so great, so big. There's no way I can even imagine that. But it's true about our God. And to know that he knows me better than I know myself. Boy, what a thought. I want us to sing a verse tonight, John, if you would. Let's sing a verse, whatever.
141.
Yeah, let's sing a verse of invitation. Listen, don't miss this opportunity. If God's dealing with you, these invitation times are battle times. Just surrender to what the Lord has. God has so much good in store. He wants to guide us. He wants to show us. I know he does. And he wants to help us. Well, I want to see it. I want to get my eyes open. What God has, what God wants. But these are the thoughts, these are the messages that bring us to start to clarify our mind and get us thinking right, to focus on Him. So we're going to sing a song of invitation. If God stirred your heart, we've already had invitation, but it's going. If God's working with you, don't miss it tonight. Let's do business with the Lord, John. Let's sing.
Lord,
good place to be. I like being under the Word of God and hearing God's Word preached so clearly. I can get it. You got to keep it pretty simple for me to get it, brother, but I got it, and I thank the Lord for it. I appreciate that, and that's good, clear preaching. And I'm thankful for God's providence. Had it not been for Farrell and Libby, I said this the other day, but I say it again tonight, if it had not been for them, I wouldn't have got to know Brother Greg, as I know him as a good close friend. And had not been for him, I wouldn't have got to meet Brother and Sister Smith. And God's providence brings all those things together. You know, long before I ever met Brother Smith, the Lord knew he'd be here, isn't that so?
Mm-hmm.
Knew we'd hear the message tonight. He knew your thoughts way off, so he knew what you were thinking. So, you know, he knew every bit of that. But Brother Greg, I appreciate you, and I appreciate you making the effort to be here with us. It means a lot to me to know that he drove about 4.5 hours to get here to support our meeting. And that's good, and I appreciate you. But I want you to come up tonight and close us in a word of prayer, if you would, please, brother. I appreciate Brother Greg. He's become a dear friend, and I appreciate him. And, boy, it's something how God speaks to our hearts and sends us messages just what we need to hear. I love you and I appreciate you, my brother. Thank you.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for what we've heard. Lord, help us not to be hearers only. Lord, help us to heed the things you've brought to our attention. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the pastor. Thank you for Brother Smith. Thank you for speaking to hearts. And Lord, may we not leave it, but may we take it with us. Lord, may we not just be challenged by your word. Change us. And Lord, we just pray that you might continue to work in hearts and lives throughout this meeting. It's over as we make our way home. Get us there safely and bring us back tomorrow. In Christ's name, amen.